Thanks for listening to The Indicator. We want to better understand who's listening and how you're using our podcasts. So please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcastsurvey. That is one word. We promise it takes less than 10 minutes and it really helps support the show. That is npr.org/podcastsurvey. Do it if you can. Thank you. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. So we tend to think of economists, maybe this is just me, I tend to think of economists as, you know, like in an office at a desk, probably looking at a lot of numbers, like many, many pages of numbers. But that's not actually a fair assessment because economics is the study of how people make decisions in a world where resources are scarce. Economics happens all around us, every day, at the supermarket, in the movie theater, in your living room, or in a brothel. And that brings us to a new book just out this week from economist and journalist Alison Schrager. It's called An Economist Walks Into a Brothel. And she joins us now. So, Alison, you walked into a brothel.
Several times.
Why did you walk into a brothel?
Well, because I study retirement.
Sure.
And the main question in retirement is risk. And I studied risk, I had this idea that risk was not just about finance or retirement. It really moves every market. So I thought, well, what's riskier than sex work?
Yeah.
It's a risky job.
Today on the show, we walk into a brothel with Alison Schrager and see what it can teach us about risk.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Zoom. When you can't be there in person, Zoom. Zoom is used by millions to connect face-to-face. One easy platform for all your communication needs. Visit Zoom online to set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom. Support also comes from Ting, the cell phone service where you pay a fair price for the talk, text, and data that you actually use each month. If you use less, you pay less. It's that simple. Get $25 off your phone bill at indicator.ting.com.
Alison Schrager.
Good to be here.
You have just written a book. Very exciting. Here it is. An economist walks into a brothel and other unexpected places to understand risk. So which brothel did you go to?
I went to four, actually.
But all legal. So all legal brothels.
All legal brothels.
And what did you learn about risk from sex workers and legal brothels?
Well, so what I learned is when I first went to the brothel, I was surprised to find out that the legal prices were much higher than the illegal prices.
Oh, so if you hire a sex worker legally, you end up paying more than if you hire a sex worker illegally.
Yes, you pay like 300% more. Like a huge markup. At first, it surprised me because you would think, like, think about it, like illegal drugs, they're really hard to find.
Yeah.
So you have to pay drug dealers a premium to get the drugs from them.
And for the risk they're taking on in having all the drugs.
Exactly. So I was surprised that the legal sex workers could charge a lot more. And it turns out, as you said, it is the risk. It is the fact that this is effectively what we call in finance a risk-free transaction. I mean, you don't have to worry that you're going to get caught by the police. You are assured complete discretion. You don't worry about the woman might blackmail you, mug you, whatever. It's risk-free for everyone involved.
Every chapter in the book explores a different industry. There's like horse racing and surfing and all these different examples of different people in different industries who encounter different kinds of risk and handle it in different ways. One of my favorites was the paparazzi chapter. So tell me about the risks that paparazzi are dealing with and how they deal with them.
Well, you can imagine their income is incredibly volatile and unpredictable.
Yeah, how much did you get paid for a paparazzi photo? How much do you get paid of a photo of Gigi Hadid walking down the street with a Starbucks?
Probably like $5 or $10.
Oh, that's not that much.
No. Well, right now, yeah, it's a strange time for them. So their income faces two big sources of risk, which we all face, but with them, it's a lot more pronounced. One is idiosyncratic risk, which is the risk in finance that an individual stock will rise or fall, like Facebook. So the paparazzi face a lot of idiosyncratic risk, which is just, I mean, the odds that you're going to stumble upon Gigi canoodling with her new lover I mean, it's totally random and totally idiosyncratic to each individual paparazzo. But there's also something called systematic risk, which is the risk the entire stock market will crash like it did in 2008. And they also face a lot of that. Like I said before, like the Gigi Hadid getting coffee, that's in the industry called a just like us photo.
Oh, yeah. Celebrities, they're just like us. I like those photos.
But back in the, there's something called in a paparazzi world called the Gold Rush era. And that is when peak Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan time. In those days, a just like us photo of celebrity doing something boring would get like $5,000 or $10,000.
Oh my gosh. So basically the market for photos just crashed. Why? How did the price fall that much? I mean, that's shocking.
Well, partially, you know, the internet has made the business model of a lot of publications more difficult, and it just sort of squeezes the photographers.
Oh, it's sort of like the photos became like a commodity, like
exactly.
Wheat or corn or something. There's just a ton of them. A lot of them are kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the paparazzi are in this kind of interesting new world where it's really hard to make money and there's a lot of risk. How are they handling it? Like,
They've always had a lot of idiosyncratic risk. That's not new. And the way they've dealt with that is they form these alliances, and the alliances always get cute little names.
Really?
Yeah. The guy I followed had a 10-year-long alliance called Paco, a paparazzi company, and he's very proud of it. I think it's even in his social media profile.
Really?
The founder of Paco.
So what does the alliance do? They're like, you take the front of the building, I'll take the back, or they work in shifts so
it
they don't have
that.
To be on like a 24-hour stakeout?
It sometimes it's that. Other times it could just be we're part of an alliance. If I get a tip, I have to call everyone in the alliance.
Oh, so they get a tip that like Kristen Stewart's making out in the park with some random guy. I've got to call my five buddies.
Yeah. Of course, you wouldn't do that, though, because you get a lot more money if it's an exclusive photo.
Yes.
So there's this. So they're always forming these alliances, but they always have an incentive to cheat the alliance. So these alliances are always falling apart, but they always then have to reform because the idiosyncratic risk is so large. So you spend time with the paparazzi and they all kind of hate each other because they all have these like really bad histories.
Oh, my God. They're all frenemies.
Totally.
Much like many of those they photograph.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of ways what's going on with them is way more interesting than celebrities.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that you kind of illustrate how we all deal with risk in a million different ways every day. It's not just with saving for retirement or sex work, but just in everything from like, should I go on a Tinder date or stay home and watch Netflix?
Yeah, I have this working theory now that one of the reasons people don't go out as much is that, you know, the foundation of every risk decision in finance is what we call the risk-free rate, which is how much you get for taking no risk at all.
Oh, okay.
And if a savings account is paying, you know, 6-7% interest, you know, why bother going to the stock market? You know, you don't need to take risk. And so all financial problems all have risk-free rate as their foundation, because it gauges how much risk people take given their goals. So my personal pet theory is that TV has gotten so good, we go out less. Because why? The risk-free return is so good. Like, I remember in my 20s, I remember going on dates because there was no good TV.
Like, sure, sure. Well, the TV was much worse back then.
It was. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I don't know if I'll have fun, but eh, whatever. Desperate Housewives is a rerun.
And now it's like, is this worth missing the new Game of Thrones?
Yeah, peak TV. You know, it makes us less risk takers.
So what are some of the potential upsides to getting risk right? Like how can our lives get better if we start to understand risk differently?
Well, taking risks is important. It's what brings change into our life. I mean, you probably won't get a raise unless you change jobs. And, you know, you're not going to have a successful relationship unless you risk heartbreak. I mean, I study retirement. And, I mean, we've dumped this huge risk problem on every individual, a very complicated risk problem. I think saving and investing for retirement is a very, I mean, I've spent my whole career on it, so maybe, you know, I think about it a lot. I think it's a very hard problem. And yet we've not given anyone the tools to think about risk in a scientific way.
Allison Schrager, thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. Our intern and fact checker is Willa Rubin. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.